Enough left to pay the tiling, linen service.
So where do you go from here?
I don't know.
You loved Harry.
We knew up and down. Times were tough, we shared a crust of bread. Times were good, we bought each other diamond stick pins.
Then what really got you worried about Harry?
Last spring, Harry married a cabaret girl, a Kiki Adams, a singer in a roadhouse.
I didn't know that.
A homely shrimp like Harry, 44 years old, not a hair in his bald head, taking a young cabaret chicken for a wife.
44 is the dangerous age for men, they say. A crack opens in your head.
Yeah, and other things, Craig. The people Harry began to go around with, a bop musician, a horn blower with a crazy name, Bigelow Burney. And the gangster in the silk suit.
Gangster in the silk suit?
Tony Saxon. They ran him out of New York. They ran him out of Miami.
They ran Tony Saxon out of San Francisco, Seattle, Nevada, and Dubuque.
Yeah. It could only be my imagination, something out of my nervousness for Harry, but the last days before we dissolved partnership, to me, Harry had a frightened look, like he was...
Scared for his life?
Yeah. And another strange thing.
Yeah?
He took his money and went. He had a bus ticket for Key West, he said. The bus at 6 o'clock that night.
But
I asked the driver the next day, Krogan, the driver. He stopped over here to grab a bite and wash up. How did Harry look to him on the bus, I asked. But no Harry. Krogan said Harry never got on that bus.
You find it mysterious?
What I find more mysterious is that Harry's wife, Kiki Adams, is still right here in town, in the same furnished apartment they rented last spring.
Maybe Harry ditched her.
Crazy the way he was over her? Impossible. Also, thinking from the angle of the wife, the cash opportunity she grabbed when she married the poor fifth Harry.
Harry's $30,000 in cash.
Exactly. I asked you, would Kiki let a gold mine slip away on a bus? Craig, I need some help.
Well, I figured only to stay overnight.
Stick around, Craig. Find Harry for me.
All right, I'll stay a few days. Try to find out what did happen to him. Now, what cabin have I got?
Cabin 4, the best. You get washed up, Craig. Then I'll boil you a steak. Free. On the house.
Pounds of porterhouse steak later, with my stomach a foot in front of me, I went calling on Kiki Adams. 212 Elm Street. I had directions on me written out by Mo Burke. Drive east across the railroad tracks, then north 1/4 mile past the county jail. 1/4 mile past the county jail, I stopped. 212 Elm Street was a two-story frame building sandwiched between an abandoned schoolhouse and a plumbing supply wholesaler. A big front door with isinglass slits on it and a brass knocker. I banged the knocker a little while, and then I tried the doorknob. I made less progress there. The doorknob came off of my hand. A situation like that can become embarrassing. This one did.
All right, drop it, Sam.
It?
The doorknob, Sam. I saw you cop it.
You misjudge me, friend.
I'm on the steps there beating my feet. I got a cold eye on you, Sam. You're low down jelly belly to the grass.
Jelly belly? Hey, what kind of guy?
Bigelow Burney, Sam, and don't scratch your violin at me.
Bigelow Burney? I've heard about you. You're the bop musician.
Hey, man, he's been scatting scandal about Bigelow Burney.
Never mind who's been scatting. Look, I'm a detective. Harry Craig. I'm here to visit a lady, Mrs. Harry Jarvis.
Kiki, huh? My eyes getting colder, Sam.
Where can I find Kiki Adams, Mrs. Harry Jarvis?
At the Downbeat.
The Downbeat? That the club she works in?
That is.
Thanks. You go back to beating your feet. And while you're mooning over Blue Mama Kiki, keep one fact in mind, huh?
Shoot me, Sam.
Kiki is supposed to be another man's wife. Put back your horn and blow it, music man. I got to drive Kiki home after her 12 midnight turn was extended to upstairs.
Make yourself comfortable.
To do that, I'd have to take off my shoes.
Be my guest. Well, how do you like my home, sweet home?
Charming.
Lava. The crummy dump.
It could use a coat of paint.
It could use a mask.
I know the answer.
What?
Move.
Tell that to my husband.
I will. Where is he?
Harry's away on a trip.
Oh.
Lover, I want to set you straight.
On?
How you got here?
Well, you invited me.
To pass the time, socially. I'm a night owl, not a butterfly.
Have I made a pass, doll?
No, not yet.
So why the sermon?
I got a canned speech I use on guys I pick up with.
All right, finish it.
I don't like talking to myself when I get home after the show. I tried being an introvert once. I don't like you. You're up here only for conversation, lover. In the canned speech.
All right, if I made a speech now?
Speech?
Exactly where is Harry Jarvis?
Why should you care?
I'm worried about him.
Worried? You know my husband?
I do. No women like him.
Well, this is news.
You never asked me why I popped into your life.
No, I assumed you were just another John looking to get acquainted.
I looked you up on Harry's account. To put it simply, I'm a detective.
A detective? Was Harry on your mind?
Yes.
Why, what's with Harry?
He isn't around.
Well, I told you he's away on trip.
You failed to say where.
Where? Well, I don't know.
Well, you're his wife.
Well, sure, but he didn't say where he was off to. I didn't even see him when he left. I was at the club. There was a note waiting for me when I got home that night.
Well, what did the note say?
Stay. Call away for a few days, something like this.
Well, when was this?
A week. No, 8 days ago.
Where's the note?
I got rid of her. What reason do I have to save her?
Well, in these 8 days, has Harry contacted you?
No.
And you didn't find that strange?
I guess I did a little, but...
What?
This may shock you.
I'm shockproof.
There was a relief with Harry away, so I didn't worry too much about his silence. You see, Harry's in his middle age.
But you married him.
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Why? Search me, I ask myself.
I'm going to ask you a big question now. Get on record with an honest answer and you'll thank yourself sometime.
What's the big question?
Did you know Harry had liquidated his half interest in the Happy Traveler Motel? That on or about 8 days ago, Harry had $30,000 in cash on him?
Well, I knew he was selling out in the motel. I know he'd already done it or about the cash. Something happened to Harry?
Until I know better, I'm proceeding on that premise, Mrs. Jarvis. I left Kiki to waste her fragrance on the four walls of the flat. Downstairs, I ran into a familiar figure. Back sitting on the next door schoolhouse step, busy, quote, beating his time, the bop musician, Bigelow Bertie.
You're real low down, jelly belly to the grass, Sam.
I don't rate the cold eye, Bernie. I did nothing but converse with Kiki upstairs. It's still you and her husband in the field. I mean, if Passionflower upstairs still has a husband. What's your thought about that, Bernie?
Harry will be home.
Then why do you sit outside here beating your time and mooning over Kiki? Another man's wife and no chance for yourself, you can see.
I got an answer for you, Sam.
I'm dying to hear it.
You see up there where I'm pointing? That flat under Kiki's?
Yes.
I live there, Sam. I'm beating my time down here because I live up there.
Bernie.
Yes, sir.
What if it turns out Harry Jarvis is never coming home to Kiki?
He left her?
Could be, no?
Oh, never.
Okay, so Kiki's one bitch a man doesn't walk out on. But suppose Harry doesn't ever come home for a wholly different reason.
Man, only one reason would keep Harry from coming home.
Okay, anticipate me. Go ahead.
He'd have to be dead, Sam. Real gone. Sam, is that what you mean by Harry not coming home?
That's exactly what I mean.
That Harry's dead?
Dead. With you out in front now in the grave for Blue Mama.
You hitting around maybe I killed Harry?
I'm asking you, would you kill Harry Jarvis?
No, and oh, man.
Then finger somebody for me. Somebody who would kill Harry.
Hey, you were supposing before, now you're not.
I've given up supposing. Come, Bernie, help the law and you help yourself.
Well, man, if Harry is dead, there's only one man I know who...
Who is this man?
A sport in a silk suit.
Tony Saxon?
Man, Tony Saxon.
Why would Saxon want to kill Harry Jarvis?
Money, Sam. Harry was into Tony Saxon for money.
Gambling debts?
Tony Saxon is a gambler.
Where do I find Saxon in this town?
3 acres, that's the Fieldstone house on Chestnut and Raleigh. Man, Harry is dead, huh?
That's my morbid surmise.
Say, all right for me to go comfort the widow?
I'd say it's more decent to wait until the corpse confirms that fact.
You know, I'm glad I had to talk with you, Sam.
No more feeling low down, jelly bellies of grass.
Oh, no, I'm high in the stars, Sam, on a happiness jag.
You sure go for Kiki.
Oh, she's under my skin, Sam, under my quivering skin. Blue Mama Bigelow Bernie's blowing a high note tonight.
I left Bigelow Bernie swinging in the tree. I went to look up Tony Saxon. Lit up like the people inside it were afraid of the dark. Every room inside and floodlights outside on the big lawn. To get in, you had to pass through a fence, what looked like an electric fence, to keep prowlers and police at bay. I looked for a buzzer, but couldn't find one for the life of me. While wondering how to get in, somebody solved the riddle for me. A how do you do from behind that closed my eyes? Too, with something rattling in my ears. The rattling of bone, like teeth. When I got my eyes open enough, I saw what it was. Chips. Ivory gambling chips on a green dice table. I was stretched out on the dice table.
He's up 6 and 32. You and Morty pick up your money.
A sport in a black silk suit. Tony Saxon. What's this 6 and 32, mister?
The time it took you to come to, we made a bet on it here. Me and Morty and Fatso.
A bet on how long I'd be out?
I said 10 minutes. Fatso there said 8. Morty's bet was 6 minutes. You were out 6 minutes and 32 seconds on my stopwatch, Morty's bet.
Morty there owes me a cut for cooperating.
Beat it, boy. But not too far.
I'll beat it just far enough to be able to keep me covered, fellas.
We don't shoot fish in barrels, Craig.
Then give me a running start if you really want to be sportsmanlike.
You bet death on the brain, Craig.
Craig, you keep calling me Craig.
Your name?
You know.
Your wallet says, so does your police license.
Did you restore everything back to my pockets in good order?
Everything except your gun. You get that on your way out. Irene in the main foyer. She has your hat and your gun.
So tell me.
One of the boys, Fatso there, saw you prowling outside. He figured you were a lonesome stick-up case in 3 acres. He tapped you.
My head doesn't just feel tapped. What happened to all the lights?
Lights?
The place was all lit up 6 and 32 ago.
We turned them off.
What happened to all the players?
You're pretty smart.
Smart enough to know you had a few games going here. Fatso didn't figure me a stick-up. He figured me a cop spelling a raid. You tapped me out until you shooed your guests home.
I won't admit it or deny it. What can I do for you?
Hand over the corpse of Harry Jarvis.
Harry Jarvis is dead.
I'll make books.
Dead but no corpse.
Not yet.
That's bad news if true.
You lost a friend?
A debtor. Harry owes me $20,000. His paper.
Maybe you owe his estate $10,000.
How's that?
The last time Harry was seen, he had $30,000 on him.
Good night, Craig. Morty, show Craig out.
Hold up here behind an electric fence, after being thrown out of as many states as I can name. Who do you pay protection to, Saxon?
Grandma Joan.
Grandma Joan?
My landlady. I rent 3 acres from her. Good night, Craig. Find Harry, let me know. A client of mine.
Outside Saxon Waterfall, I found fresh company. See. He looked dead until he spoke.
Don't you be alarmed, Fred.
You better be alarmed.
Bill Frawley. I'm the law here in Northgate. That is all the law they got this side of the country. Here it is. See, I was by a spruce across the street a while before. When that Saxon croupier came down on your head.
You just watched the show?
When I'm the law, but I'm peacefully inclined when it comes to Saxon again. He's the county commissioner's problem, and I got my complaint about Saxon up with Commissioner Hawkins right now. Besides, I was standing under that spruce with other things claiming my thoughts.
What other things?
Harry Jarvis is dead. Same conclusion you came to, Fred.
How do you know?
Well, see, I was talking to Bigelow Bernie. After you, Doctor.
Oh, I see.
I got something down at the jailhouse now that kind of proves Harry Garrett's dead. Yes, Gumpley?
I do.
The start of it?
The Northgate Jailhouse is a clapboard frame shack a March wind could blow off its foundation. It had an office and a cell that could accommodate two overnight guests. At the moment, the room was a single. One prisoner, fast asleep on a cot.
He's what I brought you to see, Craig.
The prison?
Yeah.
Looks like a
That's the trade he claims. Says his name.
What does he do besides sleep?
Love to stress you out. Came down kicking yesterday and today. Hunger strike. He wants his constitutional rights.
Those being?
On the road, he said.
3 days, you said. What do you do here in Northgate? Throw away the keys?
Well, I'm waiting for the wagon to come take him to the candlestick now. He'll get his hearing now.
How does he connect with Harry Johnson?
You see the clothes on?
Yeah.
The striped and blue suit. Those yellow shoes?
Well, who can miss them?
I know the suit and yellow shoes like they're my own. Harry's clothes. This Dusty Ames was wearing Harry Jarvis's clothes when I picked him up over in Route 9.
When Dusty Ames...
I'm a Federalist. President McKinley will hear about this.
He does. A miracle on your hands.
Cosmological dialectics in Katy Did College.
But the rules, John. So you turned in your cap and...
We opened an highway.
And killed a man here in Northgate.
That's a lie.
You're in his clothes?
I found those clothes.
We've been asking you where.
I wouldn't tell the sheriff. Why should I tell you?
Because when it comes down to it, I'm going to beat it out of you.
Civilized man always reverts to the beast.
Your predecessor in those clothes was a dear friend of mine, Dusty.
A dear friend? Ah, man's greatest possession, materialistic world. Sir, I have a poem right here in my pocket, after the fashion of Edgar Guest. Now read it. No matter where the road may go, I'll always think of dear friend Joe.
A tree hollow in the piney woods.
The clothes were right in there, sir. Wrapped in tar paper, set to burn. See the cinders?
Yeah, I see them. When you changed into the new clothes, what did you do with your own rags?
Hung them to a tree.
What for?
As a sign that Dusty Ames had come through. A sign that there were stray chickens in these parts.
A sign for other hobos.
Live and let live.
Grave.
Sure.
Harry Jarvis is buried here in Piney Forest.
Yeah, looks like. How big is Piney Forest?
Bigger than Northgate Township. Close to 400 acres.
Meaning we need a regiment to unearth the body here.
It needs more manpower than Northgate's got. We could appeal to the state governor for National Guard.
No. We may not need to.
Not need to turn up the body of Harry Jarvis?
The time and labor and agony. We might be able to avoid all that. See if we can get the murderer to find the body for us.
Now, that'd be a trick.
Trick is exactly what I have in mind. Yeah. We'll try to make a trick do for manpower, Sheriff. I briefed Sheriff Crowley on what I wanted him to do.
I'm to let the word get out that we got ourselves an eyewitness.
That your hobo prisoner led on each seen the actual murder and burial in Piney Forest. Now, get on it, Sheriff. Sometimes it plays exactly according to script. Sometimes it doesn't. This time it did. I could hear the village chimes when the silhouette appeared at the jail window. Heavy shoulders and face with no identity to it in the pitch dark. I was in the office under the desk. A neat hunk of gymnastics considering my size. It was more than 2 minutes before the killer dared to try the door. His feet were 6 inches from my nose when he stopped dead center in the office. I had to imagine the rest. My line of vision was too low now. I imagined him estimating the sleeping figure of Dusty Ames, estimating how to make his shots effective. I didn't wait for the murder of the hobo. I just took aim at a 45-degree angle from the floor and shot my pigeon in the leg.
Oh,
that's a killer. It's time for rejoicing. But I didn't feel that way this time. I only felt like getting drunk.
It kept me like a fox playing games with a rabbit.
How's your leg, Mo?
On fire. I didn't see him hurt.
Mo, why did you ask me to find Harry?
I asked you to find Harry to demonstrate to me how safe I was. I decided to make a test with you, a smart New York detective. If you couldn't catch me, nobody could. I could stop worrying. Well, you gave me a demonstration.
You killed Harry for $30,000. You got it stashed away.
I killed Harry because I was too old to start over again. We made our life together, and Harry was condemning me to death.
Bankruptcy isn't death, Mo.
At my age, it is. And my condition, it positively is.
Your condition?
Heart, liver, kidneys. Inside, I'm like a bombed-out balloon. There's no time for me to start all over being young and ambitious.
Mo, my thought is you're a little off.
No, my friend. Say I'm worn out in the world, that's all. Just say that at 53, I, Mo Birch, got so confused I fired a gun at Harry Jarvis.
I want to know where you buried him, Mo.
Sure. You want to know, and I'll tell you. Right now, I'm nothing.
Sometimes you take no pleasure in the catch. Sometimes all you want to do is get drunk.